Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
And good morning, everyone, and welcome back. Welcome back indeed to another episode, edition, something of Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci here on this Sunday morning. I hope all are doing well. And ladies, how are we all doing this morning?
We are doing good because we are going to learn today, even more so than usual, how to practice good self-care for women.
Oh, okay. So that is our guest today. I remember she's got a very cool first name. It's Tula, though I do not recall her last name off the top of my
head. Tula Rhodes. Yep. She's written a book called Self-Care Habits for Busy Women, A Guide to Choosing Yourself Every Day, Breaking Free from an Overwhelming Lifestyle. Can anybody relate? I know. Nice long subhead for you.
Yes, I was just going to say, when we first talked about Tula before we started recording here and you gave me the name of the book, I was like, wow, that's rather short.
And you know what? I didn't even finish reading the subhead, Frank.
I know you didn't. I had to cut you off.
Yeah. So, and the last part of that, 6 steps to getting back on track. So, no, seriously, women, I think, overwhelmingly are accustomed to looking out for the people around them and not realizing that it's not selfish and the importance of some self-care. So we're going to learn a little bit from Tula as to shifting how we think about that and some things we can do to take better care of ourselves.
Well, and that is the topic that we've brought up before here, that the two of you mm-hmm. have with some of our guests, is that, you know, one of the worst things you can possibly do is to put everybody else first.
All the time. Yeah. There's times when you need to, but, then you become exhausted and cranky and you actually cannot show up as well for the people that you care about. So,
right. That's right. Because the right self-care helps the outside care or the other care.
100%, Frank and Mary.
And we need a reminder of that every now and then. So this is a perfect opportunity. Tula, and I'm going to bet Tula is short for something, even though I freaking love her name, Tula.
It is a fun name, right?
It is.
We'll find out.
And also, on the subject of self-care, I just have a quick. I mean, I have a few things that I, of course, would love to complain about, but I do have a quick question.
We love when you complain. Go ahead.
Something happened last weekend that has not happened in a long time, and it just got me to thinking. When is the last time, you two, that somebody knocked on your door when you weren't expecting anybody and it wasn't a delivery person, just like someone knocked on your door, like to visit or whatever without invite? When's the last time that happened?
I couldn't tell you how long it's been. And I would also say that I just might advocate for a law against that.
And you know what? And I'm sure there's a lot of folks out there that are saying to themselves, we could go for that law as well, because, man, I can't get rid of these freaking pamphlets.
I mean, calling me on the phone is bad enough versus texting. Knock on my door. Oh, God.
Yes, yes. No, I, you know what? I have to say, I think the last time that I recall getting a knock on the door, I mean, look, when I lived in an apartment complex, yes, our neighbors would knock on occasion. But I do remember when I was living with the ex. What's that?
What? Your house is on fire.
What? Somebody's not going to knock on your door and say, listen, you left your lights on or you left your door open or listen, the wife made cookies for you. You know, something like that. Come on. Yes. Okay. Neighbors do occasionally knock on doors. But I do recall that one time there was a, let's be kind and just say a religiously inclined person who knocked on the door once. And
they felt passionate about their message and wanted to share.
They did. They did. Yeah. And they left very, very disappointed with a mental image of me wearing nothing but a pair of boxer shorts. So
that had Batman on them.
No, sadly, I didn't have the Batman underwear at that point just yet, because that would have worked really well.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you brought up the underwear, because this isn't even like a pre-COVID and post-COVID thing. Like, I'm with you. I haven't had somebody just knock on my door like, oh, hey, in the neighborhood, just wanted to stop by. In forever. Like, honestly, forever. So when it happened to me last Sunday,
at
9:30 in the morning, which technically was 8:30 in the morning.
Oh.
I was a little miffed, and it got me thinking. So just to set the scene, I am barely
Here we go, Frankenberry.
I know. Hold on. We're doing the usual here, Jonna. I'm leaning back.
Let me just get comfortable. I got my pillow.
Yep, I'm clutching my pillow as well. Go ahead.
Okay. And I'm sharing because I'm not sure whether I should still be outraged or embarrassed for myself. But okay. I am downstairs in my kitchen, which is the level at which somebody, if they're going to knock on the door, it's that level of the house. I am in a robe. I am disheveled. I am unkept. I am unclean. It is 9:30 on a Sunday morning. I think I probably was mid yogurt scoop in my pie hole. I got, redhead. I got mascara all over my, under my, this is my Sunday morning, leave me alone in all my glory kind of moment. And all of a sudden, I hear the doorbell ring. Now, sometimes my delivery, you know, peeps will ring the doorbell just to let me know, like, hey, delivered another one for you, as we do every day. So I didn't think anything of it. But then, like, a minute after the doorbell rang, somebody knocked. Knock, knock, knock. And I'm like,
so the doorbell rang, you ignored it.
I ignored it because I honestly
because you figured it was the delivery. Okay.
Once the person knocked, I was like, this is unusual. This can't be a delivery. And I wasn't expecting anything that required a signature. And frankly, you guys, even when I'm expecting something that requires a signature, if I don't show up within like a nanosecond, my delivery people are gone. Like, here's the note. You're sorry about your luck. We'll have to come back another day.
Sorry for your loss.
Right. So
no booze for you.
So now, like, in my kitchen, looking like crap, really is the issue. In a robe, and I'm like, oh God, is there something wrong? Like, did somebody have an accident? Why is somebody banging on my door? So now I sneak around. I sneak to an area of my house where I can peek at who might be at the front door without them seeing me, without making my presence known. Now I already begin to feel like a jerk because I'm sneaking around my own house.
I would have been doing the same thing.
Peeking out. I'm so glad you said that because that was going to be my next question. But what do you think I see when I look out the window where I can see them, but they can't see me? I see two people. One of them,
I know what it is. Pick me.
One of them is at the door. One of them is standing in the walkway, so like 6 feet behind that person, not on my porch. Both of them female. And I still, Carol. So I'm like, I don't know who these people are. So Carol, who were they?
It was a mother and her daughter selling Girl Scout cookies.
Oh crap! What if I see now? I didn't see any cookies, and I saw two adults.
You saw two adults. Never mind. Ain't no cookies happening there. And if there are cookies in that particular situation, be glad you didn't open the door.
And I'm just so, I would feel bad. If it turns out that they were selling Girl Scout cookies, I will now feel bad. But in the moment,
the two adults aren't selling Girl Scout cookies for their children. You can put that one out.
And if you're going to sell Girl Scout cookies, do you really want to do it at 9:30 on a Sunday morning, the day you change the clocks ahead?
Are you still on the Girl Scout cookie thing?
Okay. All right. So it probably wasn't. Now, okay. So it probably was somebody who you said passionate about their religion and just wanted to spread the word, which makes me even more mad. So my question is, I thought about going to the door, not opening it, and saying, good morning, I'm not dressed for company. Is somebody's car on fire? I did think about doing that. And then I did it. Like, so what do we do, guys? If somebody knocks on your door, I know this sounds like a stupid question, and I'm, 10 feet from the door, but you're not dressed. When do you go to the door to see what's up? And when do you ignore it and hide in your own house? That's what makes me feel like a jerk. I hid in my own house.
I think you would have been better off making a very obvious move at a window where you pull back a drape, you look out, you see who it is, you let the drapes close back, and then you don't answer the door.
Oh, that's very passive aggressive, Frankenberry. Very passive aggressive.
But, it certainly would get the point across, and it would disappoint them greatly.
Jonna, you were not thinking ahead when you handled this the way you did.
Tell me, how so?
Because you knew darn well you were going to share the story with us on the air, and now we're all left hanging.
Oh.
That's a good point there, Carol. Very good point.
As to who I was and what they were doing there.
Well, I'm left hanging too. I'm left hanging too. So misery loves company. But do you think it helps? Like, should you put a little sign on your door like, no solicitors, including Girl Scout cookie sellers? Or I don't know. I don't know why it aggravated me so bad that my morning was interrupted.
Well, I think
it's now I'm curious too.
I'm thinking possibly, Jonna, it had something to do with the fact that it was technically 8:30 in the freaking morning. That's what would have bugged the crap out of me.
On a Sunday.
Yeah, now, on a Sunday.
During the week, I'm up at 4. Like, you can, you know, I'd rather have you knock on my door at 5 o'clock in the morning and go, hey, you want Thin Mitts or Samoas?
What would your cookie pick be?
Huh?
If it was Girl Scouts, what cookie would you pick?
Oh, so you got to pick the Thin Mints. You yes. have to pick the Thin Mints because they're just refreshing and good. And then anything with a peanut butter. Now, I don't know what those are called, per se.
Dosey-dose. Peanut butter.
Dosey-dose? Okay.
I think so.
I was going to say peanut butter as well, yes.
And anything else I don't really need. But those,
Samoas are good
really
too, though.
Yeah.
So did you watch them walk back out the driveway and see what they did next?
No. So then I went to the videotape. I went to the security cams. And the funny thing is, because I wanted to see if they were walking down the driveway or if they had come from the neighbor's house, like maybe my neighbor had something, maybe my neighbor needed a cup of milk, I don't know. And as luck would have it, my camera was screwing up and wasn't letting me rewind. So, and then eventually I gave up because now I'm even more mad. I'm mad that I had to hide in my kitchen while I'm shoving my face full of yogurt while I'm half naked at 9:30, really 8:30 on a Sunday morning. And then I got even more mad when my security cameras were giving me a hard time with the network connection. So then it just started my daylight savings time off on a really bad foot.
Yeah. You know? And so that's the end of that anticlimactic story because you didn't find out who it was.
I know. To this day. Now, you know what I'm going to do? So I'm going to go back to the videotape. I'm going to watch. There's probably like some little girl who I didn't see who was too short for me to see out the window carrying like a backpack full of Girl Scout cookies. And I'm going to feel guilty.
Oh,
and then
God.
You know what I'm going to do? And I'm going to contact the Girl Scout Cookies of America. And I'm going to overorder to assuage my guilt for being a jerk last Sunday.
You see what you did, Carol?
What'd I do?
You're the one that brought up the possibility of Girl Scout cookies in the first place, and now she can't get off it.
Well, it was viable until she said there were two adults.
Exactly, exactly.
Did you guys get any Girl Scout cookies this year? I don't know anybody who sells them anymore.
No one has even offered. No, I've not had anybody contact me. I'm a sucker for Girl Scout cookies. I can't resist. But no, nothing.
Yeah, well, I do have one positive daylight savings saving story, by the way.
Oh, really?
It's a very short one.
Do tell.
Is it how to properly pronounce the event?
No. It's the fact that I discovered this morning that the clock in my car is correct.
Yeah. And hasn't been like that in a while, has it?
Yeah, like, you know, 6 months or so. So that was very exciting.
You know, they want to do away with daylight saving time nationally, although they don't have it in Arizona, by the way.
Oh,
I know. I
really?
No, they don't.
Yeah, they don't. But they want to do away with it nationally, which my father is very much against. I think I'd be okay with it. I'm pretty sure.
I don't care one way or the other.
I don't like when it gets dark at 4 o'clock. And if doing away with it would do away with that, I'd be all for it.
Then you miss that nice long weekend in the fall. That extra hour.
And that's another thing. People are always like, we lose an hour of sleep. Spring forward, we lose an hour of sleep. No, you don't. You lose an hour of wake. You lose an hour of wake because you're going to
sleep. An hour of wake.
Yes. You just get up an hour later and now half the day is gone.
Yeah, and now, and also you've got like, you know, the every 6 month now, laundry list of stories about how that hour can affect people. Oh, my Lord. Oh, and it just and they go on and on and on. And the drama around what that hour can do. And it's like, please, people, shut up. It's an hour.
Maybe you should try to give yourself a little self-care and then, you know.
Oh my God.
Whoa. Do you want me to drop a microphone right now? Because I will.
No, Carol and I will let you drop that microphone all on your own, girlfriend.
Woo! Oh, come on. Out of all our sagoos, that's going to be in the top 10 right there. Remember that, Frankie Berry. Mark that when you download this show. Top 10 sagoo.
Yes. I hold on. I'm trying to find a pen.
Oh, please. I'll remember. It was that good.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Coming up after the break, we will be speaking with Tula Rhodes. She is the author of a book that just came out this year called Self-Care Habits for Busy Women. I think there's a really good message there for all of us to not feel guilty, take better care of ourselves, and in turn, that allows us to show up better for the people that we care about. So I'm looking forward to learning what she's got to say when we come back.
All right, that sounds good. We've got Tula Rhodes on the way with us. It's Jonas Spillboard, it's Carol Pesci. I am Frankenberry, and we will return with more of Happy Hour in just a few. So please stick around.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And good morning again, everyone, and welcome back to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spillboard and Carol Pesci. And it's time to get now to our latest guest, and let's meet Atula.
And it's not Atula, it is A. Tula. Her name is Tula Rhodes. She has been a practitioner of yoga and meditation for 20 years and a certified teacher for the past 10. She strongly believes that finding ways to stay balanced and practice self-care are the keys to a happy life. Amen. She finds this through farming. I'm looking forward to learning more about that, and believes that taking time to be in nature with no outside distractions is crucial to resetting and recentering. Her goal in writing is to help women follow their dreams and live every day to the fullest. She is the author of her newest book. I think it's her first book, actually, Self-Care Habits for Busy Women. Tula, welcome to Happy Hour.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. So honestly, so before we get into the topic of your book, tell me about the farming. You're raising animals?
Yes. So I work on a farm where we grow produce and we grow it for the community. And then I also work on a farm that raises Nubian goats. And that is very fun. I've been doing that for about a year. And the woman I work with, she had this as a passion project. It turned into 30 goats breeding every year, milking, making cheese, all that. So I
love it. I'm newly addicted to the show, The Secrets of the Zoo. Do you watch that at all?
I have not.
All right. I don't watch a whole ton of TV to begin with, but hey, it's a show about animals. So I'm okay with it. And I just said to my husband, I were watching it last week. I'm like, could you see yourself working on a farm with animals? I'm like, because I could. And I'm imagining as I'm doing this, Jonna is rolling her eyes going, the horror. Even though she loves animals, but working around, I'm not sure would be the part.
it gets real sometimes. But no, it was very fun. And just being connected to nature and being outside and working hard, and something about, you know, working hard in the soil, getting dirty, sweating. Yeah. It's like, I love it. And yeah, it's not for everyone. I will say that. But
I can imagine that it is grounding and centering. So let's talk about, and congratulations on your new book, Self-Care Habits for Busy Women. Let's start, Tula, tell us why you wanted to write this book.
Yeah, of course. So I want to help women see that they can have the life of their dreams. And I'm now living a life that looks a lot different than it did even 3 years ago. And I think the book came about a couple years ago when I started thinking, man, my life is really coming together here. And I'm actually doing what I want to be doing. And as I So going back a little bit, I kind of flip-flopped a lot in my life, and I would get into farming and get into writing. And then I would think, no, I got to go back to this, you know, corporate world where I have a secure job. And I hated it every time. And I would get scared. And so it was like this fear that was bringing me back to something I didn't really like, but the money was there and the safety was there. And I thought, this is crazy, me thinking about being a writer and being a farmer. You know, who am I?
And here you are. You are a writer and a farmer.
Yes. And it took such a long time, and it took so much growth and struggling through not having the confidence, and not, there was just something in me that was like, you can't do this, you're crazy, you'll never make any money. And I just kept pushing it off, and I would farm a little bit, and I'd volunteer places, and I even worked on a couple farms. And then I would hit the point where I was like, this is too much, or I would run out of money, and I'd, you know, revert back to my old life. So doing this over the years, back and forth, I finally told myself, I sat down and had a good chat with myself and said, look, I think it's now or never. Like, you just need to jump in with both feet and do this. And I had a little bit of savings that was going to help me in case I ran out of money. And I just went for it. And when I decided and had that vision and just decided I was all in going for it, everything just kind of started to unfold. So,
well, it's funny how the universe works that way, right? When you are, I think when you are definitive in what you want to do, it doesn't mean there aren't going to be roadblocks or setbacks. But it is, I found that when I'm like, this is happening. Like, you decide it's I'm not going to try this. This is done. Like, it's a done deal. It's going to happen. Exactly. It's pretty amazing how things will align for you and opportunities that you couldn't even thought of.
Exactly. I mean, I never thought I would be a published author. And so it's definitely a dream come true. So yeah. So going back. Yeah. So deciding on that, I just decided, what can I do to help women start? And what's the foundation? And it was like taking care of yourself. First of all, you know, women don't always put themselves first. And in order to have a healthy life, it's like, girl, put yourself first, take care of yourself, do what you want to do and what you need to do and build that foundation, be balanced, and then, you know, go chase those dreams. So that was kind of like the first book. Okay. You know, set the foundation of like how to just take care of yourself, like basics. So
why do you think, Tula, why do you think that we tend to not do that? Why do you think that we don't put enough attention and value on self-care, especially as women?
Yeah, that's a great question that I'm still kind of trying to answer. I mean, I feel like there's so many factors. It's like, you know, you could say societal pressures or right. just everyone being so busy these days. But I think fundamentally, there's some kind of lack of confidence about being able to just be out there, be who you are. You know, I don't feel like going to that tonight. I don't feel like doing this today. I need this, or you know, confidence, or like being in touch with yourself and kind of knowing who you are and what you want.
Well, you just touched on something that is you specifically address in your book, and that is setting boundaries. So can we talk about that for a minute and how that relates into self-care?
Yes. And this was probably the toughest topic for me to write about because it hit home so hard. And hence, it's the longest chapter in the book. But that, I think, is something that I've struggled with so much and had to really, really reel back in the people pleasing and the doing things for others and making everybody else happy. And, you know, you come to realize you're the only person you're not making happy is yourself. So I think maybe we don't learn at a young age how to set boundaries specifically, or, you know, go ahead.
I was just going to like add to what you were just saying there. If I think back to my childhood as a girl growing up, it was being polite is wonderful and absolutely something we should teach children to be, but I think it's done to a fault. And so yes. anything that we might open our mouths and say that might be perceived as not polite, even though it might be setting a healthy boundary, becomes a difficult for us as an adult.
Absolutely. Yes, I totally agree with that.
Got right to the page of it. Tell me some of the ways it is important for women to practice, especially women, because we tend to be overgivers, to practice self-care. It is not selfish. When we take care of ourselves, we are healthier, we're more balanced, we actually can show up better for some of the people that need us. So let's talk about some of the ways. You said being in nature is very good, setting boundaries we just mentioned, but what are some of the other simple ways that we can practice self-care?
So the M word, meditation.
That's what John calls it.
And meditation, breathing practices, and then journaling and writing. And I think something that being able to write freely and journal, or even, you know, I always, in my book, I talk about use your voice notes on your phone. If you're in a hurry, you don't have your journal with you, or you're just not a person who likes to journal. It's like, record it, say it out loud, get those feelings out, and then you can come back later and figure out what the heck that was. But I think
that's a great suggestion.
I do that a lot. And if I have a great thought that I just have to hold on to, I'll do it. But also as just a way to like get those feelings out. And then you go back later and you can think, what was that? Where did that come from? Or maybe it doesn't even matter. But I think just being able to be honest with ourselves and get out what's in there that we don't understand or that's hurting us or holding us back, I think is really important.
Donna, I'm just having this vision of you taking that suggestion and voicing your thoughts to a voice memo and just turning that into a podcast. I think,
yes. It'd be-
yeah.
Yes, it please.
It wouldn't be suitable for terrestrial radio because
that's
there'd be
right.
too many words
so-
allowed to say. Yes. And can I want to back up for a second. Why, you know, we're using the word selfish like it's bad. And maybe that's where women have to kind of like change their mindset. Like it's not bad to be selfish. Shouldn't be always a dirty word.
I agree with you.
I completely agree. Self-care is not selfish. And you're right. It doesn't have to be a bad thing if we are taking care of ourselves in order to be a better person for us and for everyone else. It's not just to be a good person so that you're better around everyone else. It's like, be a good person so that you have a happy life, you know?
Yeah.
I think selfish is a good thing. I like that.
Maybe we need to put a little dash so it's self, like you think about self, kind of ish, right? You know, just not completely, but partially self.
Hey, and that's a new good book. I like that.
Something else on this topic, Tula, I think is important for moms to tune in to the importance of self-care and finding ways, and however little it may be, I get it if you're busy and it's demanding because, and I've talked about this on the show before, as a parent, if you constantly sacrifice for everyone around you, again, there are moments you have no choice, but that you don't ever set small boundaries or saying, I'm going to take a bath, you're fine for the next half hour, whatever it is, you are teaching that child to grow up and live the same kind of sacrificial adulthood you are as well. And you teach them by how you are, not just what you say. And so while you think it might be selfish to go do something that's good for you, that makes you happy, that calms you, relaxes you, and maybe your kid would prefer to have your attention in that moment, you're actually giving them value.
Yeah, I could not agree more with that. And that's a great point. And it's almost like the codependency in the mom or the, you know, the person, it's like, I want to be with this kid right now because maybe I feel a little guilty, but maybe I also want to make sure they're okay. So I'm okay. You know, instead of, hey, walk away for a minute. And if the kid cries, it's okay. Everything, you know, life will move on. But I mean, that's huge, especially for moms who are busy all the time, have to carve out that time for themselves.
Yeah.
I think that's hard for a lot of moms to do though, you know, especially if they're single moms, they have like kind of this guilt around not being available 24/8. I mean,
24/8. Yeah. Good point. There's another tip you had, Tula, in your book as one of the things that I don't think everybody would actually think of as self-care, but it really struck a chord with me because it's something, again, we've talked about here before, that one simple way to practice self-care is to organize. Can you talk about that?
Yes. Whether that's organizing your car, your house, for me, it's my brain. And it's like when I get stressed and feels like it's crazy, I pull out a list and I'm like, okay, what do I need to get done? Write it out, you know, calendar everything out. And just there's definitely been times where I felt like so overwhelmed, everything swirling around you. And then I just said, all right, sit down, get everything organized, get your planner out. And when I wrote everything out, I felt like, all right, I can conquer this. I can take charge. I can, you know, win the next day. And it actually wasn't as overwhelming as I had imagined it in my head. So that's the biggest thing for me is always coming back to the fact that when you get it on paper and you go, do I really have to do that today? It's like, oh no, that could be done next week or tomorrow, or you know what, maybe I don't even really need to do that. I'm going to cross it off and I'm going to do a little meditation to just be like, let that to-do go that I didn't really need to do. So I think having a clear mind and a clear physical space around you, it just makes you kind of, for me, it builds that confidence that I can, you know, tackle whatever comes my way.
I often wondered why, just for me too, when your physical space is neat and orderly and you feel good about it, I don't know why that just affects your whole body and your whole being. I'll never be able to explain it. Marie Kondo tried to explain it. I still don't understand it. It just works. It just works. And maybe because it does something in your brain where it frees up, you're not worrying about that. Like you feel good in your space. So it frees up your brain. And that might be the whole like key to life at this point, freeing up your brain and raising goats.
Well, I will tell you, holding a baby goat and giving it a bottle is probably, besides doing that with a baby, it's very, very cute. So,
wait a minute, Tula, do you do goat yoga since you're a yoga instructor and you raise goats?
So I have not done that, but that is the reason why is because these goats weigh about as much as me. They're like 150 pounds. The females.
Oh my gosh.
So anywhere from like 130 to 150. And then the males are actually like 200. So they're much bigger than the little Nigerian dwarf goats that do the yoga. But that's something that I've always wanted to get into and maybe that's my next thing, you know, goat yoga.
Yeah. Cause you definitely don't want those 200 pound goats hanging on your back.
That might defeat the purpose a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Tula, there's something else you talk about as some of your tips to practice self-care, and the organization was one. And as we just discussed, that is both by organizing your thoughts, by getting what's swirling around out in a list to write it down, as well as what Jonna mentioned, organizing your physical space absolutely affects your mental space. And I think this small tip, it seems so simple, but I practice this one. And for somebody who's super busy, and it's as simple as having a cup of tea or coffee in your favorite mug. And I know it sounds silly, but like I have one, one of my favorite ones is Hot Pink from Jonna that says, "Love you, biatch." but it's like a celebrating your moment. And that can be, and you know what, go get yourself a mug that you love. If you don't have one, and even as simple as taking 5 minutes to have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee in your very own mug that feels good to you, makes you happy, sounds silly, but it's like a ceremonial thing.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought it up because it does sound so crazy and it comes up a couple times in the book, but I'm actually doing that right now. And I specifically picked this mug for this call. And it's just one of those little things. Like it does sound so silly, but it's almost like telling yourself I'm worth the extra minute it takes to, you know, pick out that favorite mug for myself, or even go in, you know, when you're rushing and you're not being mindful and you're not thinking, you know, consciously about what you're doing, you're just flying off the handle, going as fast as you can, getting things done, you know, let me just get things done. But when you even take the extra 10 seconds or 1 second it takes to pick a different mug that you really like, you're like, all right, like life's great today. And then maybe, you know, you get in your car and instead of just driving away and driving off to work as fast as you can, you're like, hold on, let me get the music right. You know, and it's like, enjoy every day. It's like, enjoy every moment you have instead of just rushing through it, because then you're just rushing through every day over and over. And then you wake up years later and you're like, what the heck have I been doing with my life? You know?
Well, and that topic is important too. I haven't finished your book yet, and perhaps you do address it, but we are so accustomed to rushing and judging our value by what we accomplish that we've lost our ability to be present in the moment. That's where the peace lies.
Oh yeah. Yes, absolutely. So chapter 5 is all about mindfulness. And so I talk about a lot about breath work and meditation and just mindfulness stuff you can do. Like if you feel so busy, you can still do a little meditation while you're doing the dishes or while you're, you know, in the car on the way to work. But what I try to do is incorporate it into your daily life, because let's be honest, not a lot of people have an extra 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes a night to sit down, you know, close all the doors, get all the distractions away and do your meditation and all that good stuff. I mean, I wish we all did, but it's nice to be able to do things, as I say, on the go. It's like, as much as you can, figure out, even if it's only 60 seconds, figure out little ways you can incorporate this into your life while you're living it on the go, instead of trying to say, oh, meditation, I'll get to that one day. And, you know, you never block out the 30 minutes to do it. So,
Tula, can I add to that? Because I'm so glad you're bringing this up, because I think that people forget you can feel better in a couple of minutes, right? You don't have to carve out an hour to, you know, do downward facing dog. Like, you can take 5 minutes, 2 minutes. And even though people don't, they say that multitasking is not good for our brains, I tell you, one area where I will multitask is when I am taking a shower, because there's little else you can do except take a shower, is when I will like plan my day or think a positive thought. Like, I use that time when I'm kind of held captive because you're naked and wet to do to think the thoughts or organize my day. And it actually works. Instead of using that time to ruminate on something that's pissing me off, which I used to do, now I don't do that. So shower is
Yes.
You'll notice she's dancing around calling it the M word. She has a hard time saying it.
Right. But that's the thing. Everything around self-care, it's like, oh, I don't have, you know, $200 for a massage, or I don't have 30 minutes, and I don't know about meditation. I don't want to get into that. And it exactly what you said, wherever you can fit it into your own life, it's your creation. So it's like, do it your way, you know, figure out what you like to do. And when you like it, you're going to practice it more than if you hate it.
Absolutely.
100%. Tula, we're wrapping up here with Tula Rhodes. She is the author of Self-Care Habits for Busy Women. That's one of the best titles I ever heard, because it's so, you get right to your market, exactly what you're going to deliver. I love it. Where can people get your book, Tula?
I'm on Amazon. And I also have a webpage at TulaRhodes.com/balance. So if you go there, you can find everything there.
All Tula, right. where's your farm? And is Tula short for anything? Because I kind of had a little bet with myself on that.
Oh my gosh, it is not short, but I'm dying to know what you thought.
you may not be, but you know.
No, I mean, I figured it was going to be like Tallulah and short for Tula.
Yeah, it is not, but I do think that's a beautiful name. Yeah. The farm is in San Diego. It's in a little town just east of, you know, the downtown San Diego, about 30 minutes, called Lakeside.
Oh, nice. I lived in San Diego for 13 years. So yeah, that's nice. That was like living on vacation. And I live downtown and in Pacific Beach, those two places. So
it's my gosh, I love it. Okay, so you know.
So San Diego. Okay. Anchorman reference there. Tula, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. We're wrapping up with Tula Rhodes, Self-Care Habits for Busy Women. Thank you for writing this book, and thank you for taking a few minutes to talk with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, thank you very much, Tula. And we are not done with Happy Hour yet. We've still got segment number 3 on the way, so please stick around for more with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci and some dude. We'll be right back.
Live better and laugh harder. It's Sunday morning and Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
And welcome back one more time to Happy Hour here this morning. It is Jonna Spilbore. It is also Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frankenberry.
Oh,
boom. I don't know about that.
Yeah, that was definitely a boom shakalaka boom right there. Nicely done.
Oh, my goodness.
So Tula Rhodes, it was nice to talk to her. And actually kind of cool, too, when she let us know that this was pretty much one of the first interviews she has ever done. First time, you know, doing the radio thing, really.
Yeah, well, I think we broke her in pretty good. She did great. No, I think it's I give people a lot of credit. You know, she talked about having the corporate world job that paid the bills and satisfied one area of her life, but it wasn't really fulfilling for her. And she kept getting drawn to the farming. And so she started doing that. And then she wanted to, as a, you know, yoga instructor, and what she's learned about our mental health and ways to practice self-care, and putting that together and now becoming an author. So good for her.
So many people talk about, we've had other friends of ours and people who have been on our show that kind of, and women in particular, who have sort of had that burn the boat mentality, right? They're doing one thing and they're killing
Heather
it.
Heather Hansen, our good friend Heather Hansen, one of those.
Heather Hansen, Kara, Allwell, you know, people who have said, I'm doing great, but I want to do something else.
That's and fulfilling, yeah.
Yep. And the only way to get it done is to just like start doing it, which is the scariest thing in the world, right? Especially if you don't have sort of a net, so to speak, right? You don't have somebody right. who can help you if you run on lean times. So I got to really applaud that because I love the success stories. It's really the only way to do it.
Yep. What do they say? Leap and the net will appear.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So I didn't get a chance to ask you in the first segment. So you have showed up in this segment as the top 10 best Segusayer as your name, but you had something for Arnold Schwarzenegger in the first segment. Well, we didn't even talk about why that was.
Okay. So that might be just a little bit boring, but the reason I picked that, the reason I picked that today, and as our listeners kind of know that we do this via Zoom now, even though we used to all be in the same room. And so on Zoom, you have to put in your name. And I always put in kind of like whatever my mood is that day. And so it just so happened as we are recording this show, I am recording it from my office, which is in beautiful downtown Poughkeepsie. And there is a neighbor who is apparently having a huge fight, I think over the phone, with her boyfriend. And she is screaming and yelling and calling him all sorts of names that you cannot repeat on the radio. And she's doing it at the top of her lungs.
Oh, and so
there is a scene so much that it almost sounded like she was in the room with me, just the way her window is situated to where I'm sitting as I record this. And there's a scene in Kindergarten Cop where Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of goes ballistic and screams, "Shut up! Just shut up!" And I was this close to doing that to her. And that's why I thought I would channel that negative energy and try to be funny. And that's why I said I was Arnold Schwarzenegger from Kindergarten Cop.
Okay. So, but you've never yelled at her and told her to shut up.
No, but I did.
Okay. All right. So then, I was hoping that might solve the mystery as to who showed up at your door. Okay.
No, I think that's going to remain a mystery. And Carol, also I had noted with Jonna before we talked to you that when I saw that name that she had put up there, Schwarzenegger from Kindergarten Cop, I thought it was obviously going to be something referring to the fact that, you know, Jonna was going to tell us a story of, you know, whatever happened to her this week that almost killed her. And she was going to be referring to, you know, Schwarzenegger looking at the class and saying, "It is not a tumor." But no, it wasn't that either. So,
well, then you two funny people can just wait until next week when I tell you all about the consultation I had with my new Tony Robbins health thing, where one of the supplements they have recommended for me would require I inject myself in the stomach, but I'll save that for next week. Okay.
Oh, yes, okay. Yes, please do. Give us a 7-day respite on that crap, for God's sake, Tony Robbins, injecting yourself in the stomach. Why don't you just beat yourself over the side of the head? All right, we'll be back with more from Happy Hour next week, same time right here. For Jonna Spilbor, for Carol Pesci, I am Frankenberry, and you all have yourselves a nice week and be safe.
Maybe you should try to give yourself a little self-care and then, you know.
Oh my God.
Whoa. Do you want me to drop a microphone right now? Because I will.
No. Carol and I will let you drop that microphone all on your own, girlfriend.
Ooh, oh, come on. Out of all our Segus, that's going to be in the top 10 right there. Remember that, Frankenberry. Mark that when you download this show. Top 10 Segu.
And before we go, you know what I found funny, Jonna, when you said that would be in the top 10 of Segus? It made me think of the first thing I thought of was, yes, if the other 9 also suck.
you can always dub that back in.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.